Today we're going to be making a Tower of Fantasy tier list for you guys, so you know which characters you should be investing in the most. What's going on, guys? Cheers. The global launch for Tower of Fantasy was just a couple of days ago, so we have tons of new players pouring into this game, and within the first hour of gameplay you are introduced to the special order system. This is a cut and dry summoning system that is going to be very familiar to you if you're familiar with gacha games, and this is where you're going to be getting all the waifus. Okay, this is where you're going to be getting all of your shiny new weapons. So a lot of new players are wondering, were my summons good? Should I be investing in the SSR that I got, or is it really not that great? Because if you're a free to play or low spender, you don't want to make mistakes. So make sure you stay tuned to the end of this video. Now, before we begin, I just want to say a couple of things. First, I am not sponsored by Tower of Fantasy. It's just a game that I've been playing over the last few days and I find it enjoyable. Two, I want you guys to remember that this is a game. Look at me. It's a game. Okay. And a lot of us want to min max and get the best value out of everything. But it's important to remember that if there's a character here that I put in B tier or C tier that you absolutely love, then use that character. Enjoy the game in that way. And the final thing I want to mention here in this video is that there will be new weapons introduced into Tower of Fantasy over time. This is already confirmed. You can already see Claudia and Cobalt B down here. There are going to be new weapons that maybe add a little bit of diversity to what we talk about today. Okay, with all of that out of the way, let's jump into our first character, and that is Nemesis. Now, Nemesis is going into the S plus category. If you guys are familiar with Tower of Fantasy, if you've seen other videos like this, you know that Nemesis is das bae. Okay, Nemesis plays that support role for the Volt element, and let's take a look here at her weapon effects so you can understand why she's so good and why she will continue to be good throughout the progression of Tower of Fantasy. When her weapon is fully charged, the next attack will paralyze targets for 1 second and electrify them for 6 seconds, which negates all buffs and dealing damage equal to 144% of attack. Targets can't receive any buffs for the next 6 seconds, which is very good. You're increasing the damage that you're dealing, but really where she shines and what makes her so invaluable is the Volt Resonance. Increase Volt attack by 15% and Volt resistance by 25%. Activate by equipping two or more Volt weapons. This set's effects do not work with others. So essentially what this is saying is that if you pair her with at least one other Volt weapon in your lineup, you're going to be gaining an insane extra buff here that is only available on Nemesis. This is the only character in the game with the Volt Resonance, and you get this just by unlocking Nemesis. She gets even better when you bring her to one star. After using Pulse Lock or Particle Beam Burst, creates one Electrode that immediately grants the user 5 stacks of healing chain enhance. In addition, unleash a healing chain that heals nearby allies by 135% of the Wanderer's attack. This is really nice stuff. You're getting some passive healing, which is really going to help you, especially in PvE content. Now, keep in mind though, in order to add additional stars to these weapons, you do need to get duplicates of them in the summoning, and Nemesis is a character that is on a limited banner, which means you have to use the red nucleus in order to unlock her. And right now, if you're playing the game at launch, she is the character that is going to be on the banner for the next, I would say, 2 weeks or so. So if you can, I would be trying your hardest to get Nemesis, because after that banner is gone, it's hard to say if or when she will come back. Now, the last thing I want to talk about with Nemesis is her discharge ability. When weapon charge is full or Fantasia is triggered, switching to this weapon will clear all debuffs from the user and command Venus to fire a cross-shaped ray at the ground, creating an unstable area and reducing target's movement speed by 70% for 5 seconds. After a brief delay, unleash an electromagnetic burst that deals damage equal to 393.9% of attack plus 21. So you definitely want to do your best to get your hands on Nemesis. Now, of course, this is a summoning system, so it is possible that you just don't get her, okay? And that is fine. You don't need Nemesis to enjoy the game, okay? So if you miss out on her, or if you're watching this video and she's already off the banner, don't worry about it. Yes, she is very, very good, but you can still build a very powerful team, and there will be other characters with other elemental resonance that come out later, so don't worry about it too much. Now, if you do get lucky and you do get her, then you absolutely want to start building towards more Volt characters, at least one more on your team. Obviously, that's just going to make your experience so much better. Next, let's talk about Coco. Okay, I'm going to put Coco in the A tier. Some players may rank her slightly higher if they value healing healing more, for example, if they're focusing on raids or playing with other people. Some people may rank her lower, saying that you don't need that healing, but realistically I would say she goes in A. The reason that I value her slightly higher than maybe the B tier is because Coco is going to be one of the best healers in the game. So let's take a look at exactly what Coco is doing here. She's also a support character focusing on the ice element, and unlike Nemesis, who had a relatively balanced shatter to charge, Coco is more focused here on charge. Now, really quick, if you guys are new to the game, you don't know what shatter and charge are. Charge is going to be the speed with which this character gains their discharge abilities, which are powerful abilities that you're going to want to use often. So charging that up faster is going to be better. Shatter is more so about the ability to shatter the enemy's shield. Pretty self-explanatory, but you do want to have a nice balance of both of these on your team, because, you know, if you can't break through the enemy shield or it takes you a really long time, you're going to be in these difficult fights for longer, which means you may take more damage. Also, charge is important here because you want to pop off those skills. Okay, that's where you're going to be dealing a ton of damage with all the other utility and benefits that come from the discharge abilities. Okay, with that little tangent aside, let's take a look at the effects of having Coco. Okay, ice shell, fully charged weapons will freeze the target for 2 seconds and leave it frostbitten for 6 seconds. Breaking the ice shell causes additional damage equal to 151% of attack. While frostbitten, the target's weapon charge rate is reduced by 50%. Now, if you get Coco to 1 star, you're going to get the effect after dodging, summon a healing bee that follows the user and heals the ally with the lowest percentage of HP within 15 meters. Heal for 25% of attack and restore 50 weapon charge points each time and last for 25 seconds. There's a 25 second cooldown. Now, if we take a look here at the discharge ability, it's called Swift Deliverance. When a weapon is fully charged or triggers Fantasia, switching to this weapon from another weapon removes all debuffs from the wielder, and the staff continues to remove debuffs from the wanderer and allies, plus healing nearby wanderers and allies for 118.8% attack plus 6 HP for 7 seconds. So this is essentially an AoE healing area, which is really, really nice. If, again, this is something that you need on your team, if you're encountering things where you're having a really hard time with your HP management, Coco may actually be pretty good. But if you're a seasoned player and you're really good at dodging abilities and managing your HP, then probably Coco is a little bit lower here on the list. Next, let's talk about Crow. Now, Crow for me is going to go into the B tier, and let me tell you why. First of all, super cool design. I love the way that Crow looks. Crow is a DPS character, also with the Volt element, just like Nemesis. Also has sort of an average shatter and charge value. So if you're using Nemesis, then Crow is not adding to either of those two things. Remember, Nemesis is pretty balanced. So if you have her, then you want to have at least one other character that's really good at charge and one other character that's really good at shatter, and Crow is doing sort of neither of those things. Bringing him to 1 star is going to give you the effect of attacking targets from behind, increases crit rate from all dual blade attacks by 40%. Attacking an electrified target from behind increases crit rate by 100% and crit damage by 30%. So nice little burst damage here after that 1 star. And if we take a look at the discharge ability, orbiting blades, when weapon charge is full or Fantasia is triggered, remove all debuffs from the wielder and blink to the target location upon switching to this weapon and attack, dealing damage equal to 62.1% of attack plus 3, and electrocuting the target after 5 seconds deals Volt damage equal to 15% of damage dealt, up to 350% of the wanderer's attack. This is an abnormal status that can be dispelled. Also, spawn 3 blades that orbit around the wanderer, dealing damage equal to 46.5% of attack plus 2 to those that touch them. If we switch back to Nemesis, you can see it's the exact same Volt ability, but he's just missing the Volt resonance. Now, if we compare the two discharge abilities, Nemesis has a little bit of AoE, whereas Crow is more of a single target damage with a little bit of crowd control with the additional blades. But Nemesis also spawns the Electrode, and she has some healing at 1 star. So overall, Crow is really just a generic DPS. In general, I would say is a B tier. Next, let's talk about Huma. Huma is going to land themselves also in the B tier. I'm going to put them behind Crow because realistically, if you get lucky with Crow and you're able to get a ton of star upgrades, you could put Crow higher up on the list, and especially for PvE content. But Huma does a ton of really nice stuff as well. It's just that they don't really specialize in one thing. Huma is a defensive character. They are a little bit more tanky with a shield. They're focused on the flame element, and as you can see here, the shatter and charge are both pretty good, but again, they are both A tier. So we're trying to min max here, we're trying to get the most value, and each of the characters on your team should play a special role, whereas Huma here is pretty just even across the board. Taking a look at the weapon effects, fully charged weapons will set the target on fire for 8 seconds with the next attack, causing ongoing damage of 58% of attack every second. Ignited targets receive 50% efficacy from healing. At 1 star, using a dodge skill or branch skill while in shield form grants a stack of strong shield, which grants 10% damage reduction for 15 seconds and stacks up to 3 times. Switching to axe form converts all strong shield stacks to sharp axe stacks, each of which increases damage dealt by 15% for 15 seconds. Switching to a different weapon cancels this effect. Let's take a look at the discharge skill. Okay, Seething Rage, when weapon charge is full or when Fantasia is triggered, remove all debuffs from the wielder and unleash a flame shockwave upon switching to this weapon, dealing damage equal to 320% of attack plus 17. Taunt enemies for 5 seconds, during which gain 15% damage reduction. Scatter shield shaped objects based on the number of targets taunted. Objects last 20 seconds and provide 10 seconds of 5% damage reduction. They're stackable, restoring dodge by 1. So Huma is really tanky and definitely a character that you can use, but when we compare her to other characters in the game, she does sort of get outclassed, because again, a lot of times what you want with characters is to kind of gain their benefits and then switch back out to DPS or to another character, right? With Huma, you sort of have to stay in Huma, and Huma does sort of get outclassed a little bit. Moving on, we got my boy King. Okay, King is gonna go in the S tier. Now, you could make the argument that King is gonna go in S plus. Either way, I would say Nemesis is just slightly higher on the tier list because of the resonance, but don't let this distinction fool you. Okay, anything in the S tier is super super good, especially because King can get pulled from the regular banner, so there's no time gate here like there is with Nemesis. And realistically, you're probably gonna want to use these two characters on the same team. King is focused on DPS with the flame element, and as you can see here, King has the highest shatter in the game, at least at the time of recording this video. So when it comes to breaking enemy shields and dealing a ton of damage, King is going to be the King. At the 1 star, you increase your shatter further by 15% after shattering the target shield. Deal damage equal to 120% of attack to the target every second for 15 seconds. The 1 star upgrade with King is exceptionally good. He is usable without it, but this is really what he is doing. You're going to switch into him to break the shield and deal tons of damage. Taking a look at the discharge ability, it says remove all debuffs from the wielder and create a flaming scythe upon switching to this weapon, dealing damage equal to 277% of attack plus 15 and lasts for 10 seconds. Additionally, spawn flaming scythes every 2 seconds. The scythe summon volcanic eruptions from the ground, which deal damage equal to 60% of attack plus 3 to targets and knock them into the air. Dude, everyone likes flaming scythes, okay? Flaming scythes are badass, and I think it's pretty cut and dry. Big damage equals a better character, okay? We love it. King, definitely S tier. Next, let's talk about Meryl. Meryl also going to be in the S tier. Meryl is a little bit better than Huma as far as defensive characters go, but she can also be swapped out for King for shatter and DPS. So Meryl, ice element, again, the defense resonance. She has a 12 shatter value, which is part of the reason why you can sort of swap her out for King. If you need that extra shatter, you don't have King, or you prefer Meryl, go ahead and go with that. The charge pretty bad here on Meryl, to be honest. Now, if you do get her to 1 star, you're going to gain the 15% shatter, sort of the same thing as King here, which is really, really nice. Except instead of the damage from King, you're going to restore 10% of HP after shattering the target shield, which, you know, if you're doing solo content, for example, that's going to be really, really good. As you continue to star her up, you're going to see that she does get more tanky, whereas King is a little bit more DPS. But the interesting thing about Meryl is that she is sort of spin to win. Okay, you have the whirlwind. When you're standing still or moving, you can hold the normal attack to trigger whirlwind, dealing damage up to 82% of attack plus 4 every half a second to the target, grant hit stun immunity while in use. So really, you're just going to be spinning around dealing damage. That's going to be the cool thing with her. The discharge skill here, remove all debuffs from the wielder and smash the ground to form a barrier upon switching to this weapon, dealing damage equal to 419% of attack plus 22 to nearby enemies, knocking enemies into the air. This reduces their speed by 50% and stops them from dodge or jump. The barrier lasts 5 seconds and blocks projectiles. So here we're getting a little bit of both worlds. Here she does have some defensive and healing capabilities. She does deal a ton of damage by just spinning around, and she does have a really nice shatter value. So overall, Meryl I think is a very solid S tier pick. Moving on to Samir, she is definitely a fan favorite, but unfortunately I'm gonna put her in the C tier. I'm just kidding. She's clearly S. Everybody knows she's S. You know it, I know it, everyone knows it. Okay, Samir is S tier, especially when paired with Nemesis. The reason being is because she is really solid DPS and she has the Volt element. So she benefits from the Volt resonance with Nemesis, and her charge value is just much higher than that of Nemesis as well. She has the same Volt effect, but at 1 star, trigger an electrical explosion on the target after landing a critical hit, dealing additional damage equal to 30% of attack to the target and nearby enemies with a 1/2 second cooldown. That's like barely a cooldown. Now she is a gun user, okay, so you can just hold down that attack button and you're just gonna keep blasting. She has the bullet rain ability, so this is an airborne and aerial attack that does consume endurance, but you're gonna fire continuously at the ground. And of course the discharge skill removes all debuffs and create a domain of thunder at the target location upon switching to this weapon, dealing a total of 238% of attack plus 13 damage over 3 attacks to enemies within the area and dispelling their buffs. The domain lasts for 3.5 seconds and deals damage equal to 42.4% of attack plus 2 to a target every 1/2 second. Now getting her to 3 stars increases your crit rate to electrified targets by 40%, so this is really just gonna make that 1-star effect even more powerful. But in general, definitely a super powerful DPS character. Now let's move on to Shiro. This is Bay. She's absolutely beautiful. I love the design of this character. Unfortunately, I'm gonna throw her here in the B tier. Now the thing with Shiro is that she does scale really nice at the higher star levels, and you could definitely justify putting her higher up. The problem is that, you know, for most players that's not going to really be the case. Okay, you need to get duplicates of these characters in order to continue to advance them, and unfortunately at the lower levels she's just outclassed by, you know, King and Meryl. So what am I talking about? She's a DPS character, okay, and again, that design though, okay, that body language, all right, regardless, DPS physical element, okay, you can see really high shatter value, but it is outclassed by King and Meryl. That's just how it is. But the benefit is that, you know, if you're taking on some group content and you have some mega whales with you, okay, perhaps Shiro would be a solid choice, because fully charged weapons will inflict damage equal to 137% of attack with the next attack and make the target grievous for 7 seconds, taking 20% extra damage. Okay, so this is a debuff that you afflict on the target. So if you have other players that are just mega whales dealing massive damage, then perhaps Shiro is a really solid choice. But a lot of the benefit from her comes at, you know, the 3-star level or even the 5-star level. Attacking a grievous target extends the duration by additional 7 seconds. So really solid stuff here. And also, you know, 3 stars increase shatter by 15% and reset all weapon skill cooldowns upon shattering the target shield, can only be triggered once every 30 seconds. So resetting all weapon skill cooldown, exceptionally good. The problem is, again, it's at 3 stars. And if we take a look at King or Meryl, they get that 15% increased shatter at the 1st star. Whereas with Shiro, she has to wait till she's 3 stars to gain that effect. Now at 1 star, you will increase damage dealt to all elemental shattering effects on targets within full bloom's range by 30%. She does have some bouncing projectiles and other things that are really nice about her. But again, for what she's doing, you do have better options, especially at lower star levels. Next, let's talk about Bai Ling. Okay, Bai Ling is actually the first SR that we're talking about in the entire video, and so it shouldn't come as a surprise that they're going to land themselves in the C tier. Now, that's not to say that this character is not someone that you can use, because SRs are going to be a lot easier to get your hands on than some of the SSRs that we've been talking about the whole time. However, Bai Ling is obviously going to be outclassed, and it's not that you know, she can't be good over time. It's just that when you're investing in Bai Ling, you're taking away resources that you could be investing in somebody else that's better. So if we take a look here, Byling is a bow user, okay, focusing on DPS, physical element, solid charge here, but definitely outclassed. Some of the interesting things here are, you know, at 3 stars you get 30% increased headshot damage, so that really just comes down to your skill. How good are you at hitting headshots? Pair that with the extra 30% crit rate and 50% damage at 6 stars, really nice stuff. Very simple discharge ability, okay, unleash explosive barrage on the target upon switching and deal damage equal to 486% of attack plus 26. You do have some knockback on the regular skill here, but in general, Byling is definitely, you know, outclassed by some of the more difficult to obtain characters. Next, let's take a look at Echo. Echo is going to go right in the D tier. Okay, also in SR, this is a character that you get right at the beginning of the game. She's a spear user, volt element, which is nice, solid shatter, to be honest with you guys. But for a DPS character, she sort of lacks in the DPS department. Unfortunately, she does have the nice shatter, increased by 15% on that first star. And again, as an SR, you're going to be able to get her a little bit easier than the other ones, so that's nice. Her discharge ability, she jumps in the air. She has her lightning spear. She throws it at the ground, a little AOE there, deals 296.7% of attack plus 16. You also paralyze the target for 1 second. It's just a very quick AOE, and you can see here, like with her normal attacks, the DPS output isn't great, and she just feels a little bit slow to me. I don't know, maybe like just I'm not in love with it. I love the character design, don't get me wrong, but as a DPS character, I'm not really feeling it. You're probably going to replace her inevitably. Moving on to NA, she is also an SR, so gonna land herself in the C tier. I'll put her slightly higher than Byling. She is a bit tanky. She has the defense resonance, ice element, okay shatter here. Honestly, you do get that freeze on her, which is nice. At higher star levels, she's gonna get some interesting effects here. At 3 stars, after taking damage, reduce all damage received by 50% for the next 6 seconds with a 20-second cooldown. So really good stuff. Her skill also increases damage dealt for 25 seconds, which is really cool. You also have no dodging costs during this skill duration, and you have the ability of knocking targets into the air. You deal damage 153% of attack plus 8. You also have a hammer fell on nearby targets with another 153% damage. Overall, again, she's just like the other SRs, where she's probably going to be outclassed. If you want a defensive character, you're probably going to pick Huma or Meryl, but I guess for the early game, she would be solid for PvE content. Next, we have Hilda, another SR. Gonna throw her at the bottom of the list here. Honestly, Hilda is an ice element DPS with, again, across the board, just generic shatter and charge, decent at both, but doesn't excel at either of them. You're gonna want to get headshots if you're gonna be using Hilda. The problem is, like, the turret mode here, it's got like decent damage, but you're stuck in place, like you're in one spot. And if you've been playing Tower Fantasy for a while, you know that the game is pretty fast paced. You're gonna want to be jumping around, you're gonna want to be moving, dodging things. Why you would want to be stuck in place here, I don't know. Arctic Beam does a nice chunk of damage here with a 3 second freeze effect. Overall, just Hilda ain't it. Okay, next let's talk about Pepper. Okay, Pepper is going to round out the SRs here for the video. Going to throw her in C tier. You might want to put her above Byling. It's hard to say. It really comes down to how much you value her healing and the removal of debuffs. Realistically, Coco is just a better Pepper in general. Like, if you want a healer, you want to go with Coco. Okay, she's a better healer. She also has a higher charge value. Okay, now of course Pepper is Volt element, so there's that. But yeah, she's focusing on healing herself, healing the teammates. Her discharge ability removes debuffs from the Wanderer and allies, plus healing nearby Wanderers for 79% times attack plus 4 for 7 seconds. It's a continuous debuff removal, and you also, with her skill, create an energy shield at your current location, which heals you over time. It's a 10-second heal, but unlike Coco, the healing for Pepper doesn't sort of like follow you around in an area. I guess the benefit of her is that you are going to be able to star her up much easier than you would Coco, but yeah, I don't know. Certainly not a character that I would put too much value into. Next, let's take a look at Tsubasa. Now, Tsubasa, I'm going to put in the A tier. I'm actually going to put them higher than Coco. The thing with Tsubasa is that you could put Tsubasa higher up, but you do need to get a lot more star ups on them. And I just think realistically, for like a free-to-play player or a low spender, like, that's going to take a long time. Okay, it's going to take a long time to get that higher damage out of Tsubasa. Obviously, you can see a DPS character, ice element, really nice charge value here. You get the nice freeze effect by being the ice element, and at 1 star you gain a stack of sharp arrow each time the arrow fired by a dodge attack hits a target. Each stack increases damage by 5% for 15 seconds and stacks up to 3 times. Now the benefit here at 6 stars is that it stacks up to 5 times, so that's an extra 10% of damage. You can charge up the attacks and get double damage with headshots or hitting weak points, which is really nice. And of course, you know, having a bow character is solid. Okay, you can hit airborne targets. Piercing arrow, you perform a backflip and fire 3 piercing arrows with the main arrow dealing damage of 225% of attack plus 12, and the other 2 arrows dealing 60% damage. In addition, you have knockback and stun them for 5 seconds. And the discharge ability creates a hellstorm at the target location upon switching to this weapon, dealing damage equal to 570% of attack plus 30. The storm has a 10% chance to inflict 2-second freeze effect to gain a cold front, increasing damage dealt by 15% and speed by 45% for 7 seconds. So as you can see here, there's tons of opportunities to increase your damage, and you have tons of freezing abilities as well. But again, I really love what you get at the 6-star here, and it's just going to take so long to get there. So as much as I think Tsubasa is a super cool character and I want to put them higher up, I just feel like it's going to take a really long time to get there. Certainly a powerful character and weapon to use, but I think is slightly more outclassed by some of the other characters that are just a little bit easier to use at those low star levels. Now the last character we're going to talk about here is Zero, because Claudia and Cobalt B aren't in the global release just yet. Zero is going to go into the B category. Now at lower star levels, especially at 1-star level, I would say is probably better than Shiro, and it's hard for me to say if Zero is going to be better than Huma or not. Let's just argue that maybe he is. And Zero is another shielding character, obviously in the support role with the flame element, has the highest charge in the game from what I've seen. But the problem is, as a support character, you're not really gonna be spending a ton of time using Zero. You're gonna get his support effect, and then you're gonna probably switch back to like your DPS characters. So you do get that burn effect from flame, and at 1-star you're gonna deal damage and produce a healing orb which lasts for 20 seconds and restore HP to any teammate who picks it up equal to 60% of attack with a 2-second cooldown. At higher star levels, he becomes better. And you know, maybe you could make the argument that in PvP he's a little bit better as well. He does have a really powerful shield on his skill here. You can apply a shield for yourself and nearby allies to block up to 800% times attack in damage for 10 seconds and deal 110% times attack plus 6 damage to nearby targets and launch them. Each cube in possession when the skill is used adds 160% of attack to max shielding and exhausts the cube with a 60-second cooldown. That is cut in half if he's 3-star as well, so keep that in mind. And his discharge here, you gain 5 cubes upon switching to the weapon and unleash the 5 cubes along with the shockwave, deals 131% of attack plus 7 to nearby targets and launches them into the air. Each cube also deals a little bit of damage as well. So really, when it comes to Zero, it's like you want a little bit more damage out of them, because if you're gonna do pure healing, like let's say you actually do care about healing, you're probably gonna just go with Coco anyway. So realistically, I just feel like he's not really shining above and beyond in the few niche roles that he could play. Is he usable? Absolutely. But does he really stand out above the rest? No, I don't think so. Guys, if you made it all the way to the end of the video, make sure you drop a thumbs up on it and subscribe to the channel if you want to see more Tower of Fantasy videos. Comment down below what your tier list is. Do you think I'm right here? Do you think I'm wrong? I know there's going to be people that disagree with me here, so I won't be surprised. If there's anything that I've learned from the gacha community so far, it's that you guys are super passionate and sometimes a little bit toxic, if I'm being honest with you, but that's okay, me too. And with that being said, guys, thank you so much for watching. This has been Omniarch. I will talk to you guys again soon. Peace.